Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It's time for the good, the bad, and the dumb Thursday edition. Tuesday edition. Glad you could join us. I'm already putting us into the weekend. I got to slow down. I'm already excited for these championship games. All right, what is the good of the day, my friend?
I got two.
Two?
Yeah. I couldn't decide between the
I
two.
I like the two. I like when we do
yeah,
two
Yeah, I couldn't
goods.
Decide between the two, and I was like, you know what? We deserve them both. The first one, I got to give it to Bills Mafia.
Bills Mafia, what do? They build a children's hospital in Kansas City?
Close.
All right.
No, the Bills Mafia has been flooding the charity of Tyler Bass,
Good job.
With donations to show, if you don't know who Tyler Bass is, he's the kicker who missed the 44-yarder. This is where it gets ridiculous, right? Their donations to the charity that Tyler Bass works with, which is called 10 Lives Club. It's a cat rescue.
Right.
And the donations have mostly been in $22 increments because his jersey number is 22.
Right.
They have raised roughly $25,000 by last night, by Monday
night. You
said
this was a cat rescue?
Yeah.
So it's a cat rescue. Is that like a legit thing? What do you mean rescuing cats? Like from the streets?
Yeah.
Or like you know, people roaming around.
People who have kittens that they just don't want, just discard them.
Okay, all right.
And then they rehabilitate them, but take them in and then get them ready.
Because cats
for
are amazing at survival.
True, and like, that's part of the problem.
They can get stuff. I mean, you put them in the woods, they're pretty quick. They can avoid prey and they can land prey.
And they
pretty
can,
good
and then
that.
They become feral, and then we have an issue.
It's funny. I always think about dog rescues. You know what I mean? Like I never think about cat rescues, but I guess that's a thing. So how much they reached? 24 grand?
25.
20. That's great.
By last night. I mean, wasn't the game Sunday?
Game was Sunday.
So like within 24 hours, they raised 25 grand.
What mentality does the Bills fan have where they embrace the guy that missed the kick? And instead of wanting, like, other cities would have been, like, for sale sign on the house.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Tyler Bass did deactivate his social media accounts because he was preparing for the backlash of haters out there. That's why I think Buffalo has this, like, stigma to him right now. It's almost like not an unwanted city. I can't think of the right word for it. Or unloved city, just a city down on the luck. It's not one of the more popular cities in New York either.
Yeah. It's, but you know, I guess if you're a Bill, you're like family to them.
Yeah.
Even if you screw up, you're like part of the family.
It's like, hey, you know, we get it, son.
There is something there. I mean, everybody that has gone there says the same thing. No one has ever gone, man, I played for the Bills and that town stinks.
Right.
Everyone goes, you know what? I think I'm going to stay here. I think I'm going to return. Some players returned. They played for the Bills, and then the last, like, 3 years, they went to play somewhere else.
I mean, Josh Allen.
And they went back to Western New York, upstate Western New York.
Josh Allen is could be, you know, Mr. Buffalo when it's all said and done. And not
just like Jim Kelly.
Yeah, and not win a single thing.
Yeah.
Just like Jim Kelly.
Just like Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly is, you know, he stayed there. Right? They could live anywhere in the world. This is a guy that played for the Houston Gamblers.
Right.
And he knows what it's like to live in other places and decided Western New York was where he wanted to be.
And obviously traveled a lot. I mean, not only with the team, but, you know, for vacations and stuff like that. But, yeah, Western New York was where he made his home.
Right.
Up with 100, like on average. I have family in Syracuse, so I know this number is a rough estimate. But, you know, they would always tell me, like, they get about 170 inches of lake effect snow every year.
Jim Boeheim was the same way. Jim Boeheim went to Syracuse, but a lot of us went to colleges and don't live near the college. But he never wanted to go anywhere. He was the coach. He stayed there. But he always tried to emphasize when he would talk about Syracuse. He's like, no, I'm not here because I like my school. And I love living here. Like, it's not just that I'm the coach of my alma mater. I like living here. I like this area of the country. I like the weather. I like all of it. And the same thing, Jerry Glanville's wife cried when they went to Buffalo and then when they were leaving Buffalo. Like there's something about that town that is, it's amazingly embracing. And I'm not surprised by this Tyler Bass story. They did it to Scott Norwood. They gave him like a huge ovation. Right. He missed the kick at the Super Bowl. But people in that crowd probably are like, don't worry, we'll get him next year. Then the year after.
Yeah.
But still,
bound to be our turn some point.
They had no idea what was coming. And so what's the second good of the day?
Second good, I was just going to give you an Australian Open.
Yeah, that's going on, isn't it?
It is. And that's, I mean, I almost thought about putting that down but it's, you know, it's not Australian Open's fault. You know, all the games are live in the middle of the night.
Yeah, so just where we are.
Nothing we can do about that.
And it was 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Just so make it 2 weeks ago and make it a Tuesday. That's how you get Australia time.
It was 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to give you some future happenings, okay? Because these events don't happen for another 3 weeks. I think clock works.
That's how the international dateline works. Yeah. It's a time machine.
So Coco Gauff is in the Australian Open semis.
They're already at the semis?
At the semis.
Is NFL football just clouded my brain that I didn't know we were already in the semis of the Australian Open?
Sounds like it, Tony.
I hate to admit this, but I thought it just started. I didn't know we were already at the semifinals.
Yeah, we're at the semifinal stage. Coco Gauff is there. She will face Aryna Sabalenka.
Yeah, Coco Gauff just won the U.S. Open last year, right?
Right.
Yeah. So she's on her way to becoming a multi or winning she's now winning Grand Slams.
Winning Grand Slams and just becoming the face of American tennis.
That's right.
That's all we have. And the other person I was going to bring up was Novak Djokovic, who has reached his 11th Australian Open semifinal. He beat American Taylor Fritz.
Taylor Fritz is an up and coming American player.
Yeah.
He seems to be getting closer and closer to a finals appearance.
He just keeps running into the juggernaut that is known as Novak Djokovic. And this thought went through my mind, right? Is Novak on the Mount Rushmore of tennis players, the greatest tennis players ever?
I would put him there.
You would have to, right?
He's got the most Grand Slams.
But there's a part of you that feels like you shouldn't. And maybe it's just me, but there's a uniqueness to Novak that, you know, we don't like him or something. You know, there's a narrative about it that we can't stand the success that he has had. And I don't know if it's because of his attitude.
I try. I have to admit, I'm a little different. I'm a little wired differently. When it comes to those conversations, my personal feeling about the athlete does not come into effect.
But
like if I disagree with him on the vaccine or I disagree with, like, I'm going to acknowledge that the guy with the most Grand Slams is on the top four of male tennis players
right,
of all time.
But I just feel that you might reach to someone else. Like, you would put Roger Federer above Novak. Or you would put...
You asked Mount Rushmore. If you want to do an individual list, that's different.
No,
but Mount Rushmore is named four. Why would Novak Djokovic be number five on anybody's male tennis player list?
And that's the question I'm coming at. Is that it just feels like somebody would come up with four other players and purposefully...
I would be very, very curious as to who those four players are. I would if you want to say, I think Roger Federer's career is better than Novak, okay, we might have an argument. But if you're saying name the Mount Rushmore four top male tennis players, and you are purposely leaving Novak Djokovic because he made a comment about a vaccine that you didn't, disagree with, that's the only reason people don't like him, Ron. That's it.
No, that's not it.
Come on.
No, it's not. It's not just because of
that
the vaccine.
That is absolutely, Novak Djokovic never appeared that negatively until he started making vaccine comments and getting kicked out of tournaments.
No, I think people started disliking him because of some of the antics that he would do on court.
Oh, everyone does antics
right,
on court.
But
were to make a list and included Jimmy Connors, included John McEnroe,
the two biggest brats
in the history of tennis.
I 100%
Roger
agree with
Federer
you,
whined and cried too. Pete Sampras whined and cried. Agassi whined and cried.
I think it set people off because there was more love towards Federer and Nadal during that time because we wanted that rivalry to keep going and Novak kept interrupting it.
But again, it's a separate argument, right? Okay, maybe again, it's just me. I get it, but why are we throwing the emotion of what we loved into a conversation of who is the best at it? That would be, again, if somebody said to you in the NFL, I hate the Patriots, so Tom Brady is ninth on my list of greatest quarterbacks of all time. I like Dan Marino better. And you'd be like, how? Well, I didn't like him. I liked in Montana and whatever. I like that better. Or I like that era better. You'd go, well, sorry, but we're talking about the greatest of all time. Look, again, I can see number one, number two, number one, number three, two and three. But again, Mount Rushmore is four, the four best. How would you, would anybody legitimately not put him in the top four of all time? That's insane to me. And if, again, this is just me speaking. If somebody tells me that, then I'm going to say, then you didn't like his stance on the vaccine. You didn't like that. That had to be the case. You didn't like him when he couldn't go to the Australian Open and he took him to court, or he was trying to take him to court, and all those things that he had done based on that. But on court antics, this
stems before the vaccine. The vaccine stance that he had was almost like the cherry on top.
Do you think people?
Oh yeah, people. Were, people no, did no, no, not hold like on, hold him on. Before no, 2020.
Ron, every athlete is not liked.
No, I know, but people. There was.
There is not a
thing.
Universally loved athlete. I remember people not liking Agassi.
Oh, I agree.
I remember people hated Andre Agassi.
The hair, the colors.
He was all flash and no substance until he got substance. He was an image that tennis hated because he was becoming rich and he didn't do anything. And then he finally started winning and they went, oh yeah, he really is super talented. But Pete Sampras was boring.
Yeah,
Pete Sampras was methodical and boring and people didn't like him. Tennis has a way of drawing out people's emotions. So he's not alone. And if you're basing his accomplishments on morality or whether or not you like them, you're not in the right business if you're making those arguments. If you're somebody that's saying, I don't like Novak Djokovic is fifth on my list because I wished for another time, or I wished for another era, or I didn't like the way he talked to an official, or I didn't like the way that, then you're not making the list genuinely. All right, we'll come back. It's good, the bad, and the dumb. That's a good conversation.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we got the bad and the dumb. Why did we put that in the good? That was a very fun conversation about tennis.
Oh, no, I was giving you, because the Australian Open's going on. We're already in the semis. It was a good
feeling. That was a good for that. Okay.
It's a good feeling that, you know, Coco Gauff is in the semis.
All right, that's good.
Novak Djokovic is, you know, like we were talking about, whether you hate him or not, is in the semis for the 11th time in his career. I don't know who Novak is playing yet, because that guy either has not been born yet or will be born and transported to the semifinals later.
That's right.
Later today. Betting favorites, Carlos.
I did this with the Sydney Olympics. I remember, real quick, the Sydney Olympics in 2000, I was working for a network in Vegas and I was a sports guy. And I didn't know what we had to have a meeting real quick. And the news director didn't know a lot about sports, but she was like, what are we doing with the Olympics? Do we want to tell the news or do we want people to wait to watch it next Tuesday? And I was like, I know, because I was getting like wrestling and the big wrestling match. Remember in Sydney, they had the Rulon Gardner won a big match against a Russian. And it was kind of before the phone and quick internet, people still using dial up. So it was something you could get away with where you could legitimately avoid it and then watch it at night. But it was like that happened like 18 hours ago by the time it got on TV. It was crazy. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. I've seen too many articles on this. I think you probably have too, and we need to clear the air. The Lions are not a Cinderella story.
No, they're not.
Have you seen these articles?
Like, I have not, but I would absolutely agree with you on that.
Sportsnet. I think Bleacher Report was one of the first that said, changed its stance, saying they're not a Cinderella story. Maybe they were the ones that were still considering it to be a Cinderella story. And I was like, for me, it's like, okay, the Texans, that was as close to
that's as close to a Cinderella story
that we had this postseason. Right? I'm not even including the Packers in the talk of Cinderella story. I mean, You know, from where they were at the beginning when we all wanted to bench Jordan Love to where they ended up impressing us all, that's, you know, that was on them. The Lions, a lot of people picked them to win the NFC North, and they were right. And we kind of all saw this coming, and I don't care if they make it to the Super Bowl, still not a Cinderella story.
I get where the people are grasping at this term
because of their history.
Because of their history, but they're wrong. A Cinderella story doesn't have to come with a lot of baggage on the front end. A Cinderella story is you coming out of nowhere. Yeah. It's you coming out of nowhere. It's you, your current situation. Do people expect you in your current situation to be here? I don't think anybody at the beginning of the season, if you had said, I could see the Lions in the NFC title game, would have said, that's insane. You could go, all right, maybe I disagree. Maybe I think it's going to be Eagles. Like, I thought it would be the Eagles this year because I thought the Eagles would be, you know, really, really awesome. They weren't. You could say Cowboys. You could say Niners. But you wouldn't be crazy insane if you picked the Lions. They were up and coming. They had won a bunch of games at the close out the season last year. You could say they're building something. I've seen it over three seasons. The first season, not so much, but there were some things that Dan Campbell liked. Definitely year two, when they went 1-6 and turned it into a 9-8 season, that was very impressive, and people thought that momentum would carry. So I get what people are saying. Look, when you haven't won a playoff game in 32 years and you're never in this environment and fans, there's a whole – like there are people that were born and had children since the last time they were in the NFC title game in 1992, last time they won a playoff game to even get there in 1992. So I get it, but that's not really the definition of a Cinderella, because the season was like, if the Houston Texans were playing in the AFC title game, you're right. That would have been like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
How are we?
To me, that was the closest to what we had as a Cinderella story, because
yeah,
it's, you got to look at it this way. What we all collectively thought their season was going to be.
Right.
You know, which was, I mean, being very generous, saying 4 or 5 wins, maybe. And we were being on the generous side.
Yeah. If you go to the AFC title game and you've picked second the year, the coach got fired because they didn't have the number one pick because they won the last game of the season.
Right.
Like, at some point you go, how do you end up here? Like, that's a Cinderella story. But the Lions were building something pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So
if they had gone, like, in their first year after Dan Campbell got hired and talked about biting kneecaps and and taking a piece out of this, and if they had gone to the Super Bowl that year, I would have been like, oh, yeah, that's a Cinderella story. But
exactly.
Them, the Lions, not a Cinderella story.
No, not a Cinderella story. So, yes, take that narrative down, people. Yep. You crazy bloggers out there. All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is that it's the conspiracy theory of the NFL having scripts and that these scripts have been leaked.
Oh, I saw this. Is you talking about this Canadian television station?
When doing a report on who's singing at the Super Bowl, you know, Usher is the halftime show, but Reba McEntire, I think she's singing the national anthem. And I'm not sure what Post Malone is. Post Malone, maybe he's doing God Bless America. I don't really know. But they're also singing. But in this little graphic, they have they put down that these three singers are slated to perform at San Francisco 49ers and Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl matchup on February 11th.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's raised a lot of people's
that's all
ire.
They needed. All they needed. Because, you know, it's also going off of the Super Bowl logos. Have you seen that photo?
No, I have not. They've already made a Super Bowl logo with the Niners and
the
Ravens?
Well, it's just...
Somehow they got leaked?
All it is just the Roman numerals with the Super Bowl and the Lombardi Trophy, right?
Right.
But every single time, and they're going back to, you know, they're going back to the previous two, Bengals, Rams, and last year's Chiefs, Eagles, that the Super Bowl logo eerily has the same colors as the participants in the game.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So this year's Super Bowl logo has a lot of red and purple in it.
Do a lot of people want this to be true? Do a lot of people really want this? Like it would be devastating if it was true, but a lot of people would feel somewhat justification that all of their conspiracy talk was right.
Here's my thing, right? And because we've talked about it a lot. In sports, I don't know how you could script anything in sport.
I know you can't.
Except, you know, I guess you can do it in wrestling because they tell each other the moves, but even the outcome of the moves sometimes are you know, are unpredictable. You know, the storyline that they have is predictable. But here, I mean, the NFL, baseball, basketball, soccer, I don't know how you even fake it.
You can't do it. It's really hard. And one thing conspiracy theories can never tell me when this kind of thing happens, like, all right, I'm probably opening up a can of worms here, so I don't want to go too far, but I've seen like people like Jesse Ventura say like the BBC reported that Building 7 went down before it went down. Who is in the government or the NFL leaking out news before it happens? Like, who is doing that? Like, no conspiracy theory has ever explained how they got the information ahead of time. So forget the 9/11 stuff for a second, because that's the big one. Like, reports were the building was down and was still standing. As if somebody went, oops, I didn't mean to send that email. Shoot, yeah. That's not going to come back to bite me in the tail.
My bad.
Instead of just misreporting or something like they thought was something and it wasn't, they just kind of, they got miscommunication. No, it was somebody pressed send and they didn't mean to send. They had to wait till the building actually fell down and then they were supposed to send. Same thing with the NFL. Like, their belief is somebody in the office had it written and they were like, let's mail this to a Canadian TV station. At the end, don't forget, mail it to the Canadian station after Sunday's championship game. And somebody did it early and went, oh, that's what they believe. They believe somebody had it and sent it to the TV station, only the Canadian station, early.
And here's the thing, right? And you and I have talked about this before. I think there are people out there who have created graphics.
Yeah.
One of them that I will say is the most recent one I saw was a Twitter site, CFB Reddit, College Football Reddit, right? They immediately had a Photoshopped graphic at the ready. As soon as Bill Belichick announced his retirement, they posted a graphic of Bill Belichick in full Alabama gear.
Sure. And exactly.
You know, and they just had it ready. And it's like, and I know that takes some time, that it just, you know, you don't have things like that at the ready. So, yeah, it could be one of those things. I mean, the graphic here is already set. Maybe they have four others.
It's,
I don't know.
Like with other conspiracy theories, this is the one thing that people, listen, I'm not saying every conspiracy theory is wrong. There's a few that have panned out, but there's a problem with most of them, is that it requires levels and levels and levels of efficiency to people you don't even expect efficiency from.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when the government is accused of doing all of these things, and they're like, they can't even fill a pothole in my town without six meetings and and 35 analysis reports. And I'm supposed to believe they orchestrated this massive undermining of this. Same thing with the NFL. The NFL, you think that the layers of people that it would take to script a game, they're all in on it? At the threat of what? Death? That we have pages and pages of former employees? It's crazy.